a continuation of the previous one. So there, you know, here we are in a house where we live, Bromma. It's one of the finest areas of Sweden, of Stockholm. Most expensive, fancy houses and rich people, I guess. In the middle of all this is a house called Brommakon, where I live. And I'm just now looking at the... getting a little insight into the management of this building, which frankly speaking needs some improvement. And I know I've sometimes found myself when I was in managerial positions with people, especially Hare Krishna devotees, who sometimes just, you know, we at least, and I think maybe that's a little bit of custom that those who join the Hare Krishna movement, they are kind of a little rebellious against society and a little bit outsiders and dropouts or whatever. I don't know how it is now, kind of against the system. So here you are in Sweden, in an upper class area, and those of us who are raised here, we know what that means. For instance, the building here, they painted it some years ago. Some Russians or whoever they were running around with kids and spraying on the windows and on everything, the bushes and the trees, with their machines, which it seems they never used before. But the problem is that the color is a little wrong. They thought, it's painted yellow, then that's all the houses in Sweden painted yellow. But they got the wrong yellow. So it looks a little like one of those typical yellow Swedish houses, a little covered with nicotine or something, a little dirty looking, a little not fresh yellow. And to amplify that effect, the lower bottom, the ground level, which is generally gray concrete, also generally painted plain gray to feel like stone. It seems like they just took the paint they had left over and used it, because it's some kind of army green, yellowish, greenish gray, that also then looks like gray covered with a thin layer of a nicotine, that yellow stuff that people get on their nails when they smoke, right? Tar, nicotine. And I tell you, this is enough for neighbors when they walk by to make comments about it. I would not be surprised. What to speak of the way the drain, water draining system around from the sea, from the roof was revamped, in a way that you simply don't do in Sweden. and which people here especially would immediately see when walking by and shake their heads and say, you know, these crazy Krishnas, you know. And I think that's necessary. But then we used to think, no, these are just karmis and we're going to show them, we paint our house in any color we want. And well, if you do that in Sweden, you might get... the government on your case, and they have to force you in court, if nothing else, to paint it again the right color, because there are rules and laws here, for good or for bad, but I think actually often they are for good, because things are kept in order. But that rebellious spirit there, that it's not coming from the Vaishnava tradition, but from the, I think, Western dropout, a little bit asocial. Young people who built that movement up, and which then, to some extent, which is normal, I guess, or common, passed that tradition on, which became a, to some extent, and I would say in the worst case, part of a culture that then everyone thinks is what this Vaishnava tradition is about. So that happens, right? And we just need to look at religions historically. We see it's very common, especially maybe in these kind of more extremist groups where people are sometimes made to join very wholeheartedly and with some authoritarian leaders on top who are themselves just these old dropouts and not very mature socially or technically or in any way what it takes to run a house, a rental. Property in a fine area of the major, you know, capital of Sweden. Yeah, so here I am on my sofa just thinking about this. And how I faced that situation during my life a few times. That when you are in a position where you are responsible for a project or something like that, and then you have these young, energetic members of the team or crew or whatever, who have no actual experience, or maybe from another country, this is how we do it, and this is how I would do it, and I want to do it that way, otherwise I won't do it, and you can go to hell, you stupid leader. I mean, that situation may appear, and did appear a few times, I think, for most of us, whatever side you found yourself on there. So it's just a matter of maturity. But I would say especially a matter of maturity on the leadership, because it's a little tricky to be a leader like that. You can't just say, I'm in charge, you do the way I'm telling you to do it. The dictator style, which is sometimes just needed for a while. It's easier in a way until you get the masses against you, or get mobbed or lynched. So you have to refer to, yes, but you see, the way there are certain ways you do these things in Sweden. There are standards there, and they are also helpful and good and valuable because they are developed through generation after generation and people who are professionals and who know how to do things so it works. And I myself learn so much because this is what I do. I go to the professionals and I ask them, how do you do this? How do you do that? How much does it cost if you do it? Can I do it myself? Or I have this guy, that girl. Can we do it? Yeah, if you do it like that, then you can do it. And then analyze a little bit, plan a bit, learn a bit, think about it, don't just rush into it. Different factors involved, people, time, energy, money, season, weather. Tools. And then when all that is nicely thought out and planned out, then the work will go smoothly and nicely and be within a nice, reasonable budget and saving money, saving work, and the result will be for the lasting good.